let's face it, buying links is just a bad idea.
You're better off with a PR person promoting your brand than you are paying an SEO company for crappy links.
Hey, it's time for The Growth Show. This week, we're going to be talking about all those things that you really need to stop doing in your marketing. You're going to have a lot of fun. We have a list of 7 things that you really need to be doing in 2015. Are you doing all 7? Any of the 7? Do you even know what some of them are? We're going to cover these and a lot more today.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it, quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, welcome to The Growth Show, episode number 3. David Johnson here, excited to be here with my good friend Rod Thompson, 30-year veteran journalist. I'm just going to say that different every time.
We've already heard it.
I know
who he is.
But he's a published writer, published in the New York Times, People Magazine, National Review. These are great publications, Rod. Also a published author, book, like an actual book, 2 books. Thank you. and also is a great stickler for facts. You can find Rod at thompsonpr.com and on Twitter at Rod_Thompson with no P.
Bingo. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I had that problem when I was searching for you.
Everybody does.
Everybody does. That's okay. Thompson PR with no P. There's a P in the PR part, but not a P in the Thompson. But you gotta be clear about this stuff, you know?
I tell you, I go through that with everybody. ThompsonPR.com, no P in Thompson, but there's a P in PR.
You know what's funny?
Like, what?
I saw the Starbucks cup this week, and somebody had said, you know, when they ask you your name, and somebody had said, my name is Mark with a C. And so the cup said, Kark.
Sure it did.
Did it end with a K?
K, with a K. Sure. Yeah, it ended with a K. So, or Steve with a PH. That's what, okay. Steven with a PH. That's my favorite one. It's spelled PHTEVEN. Steven.
Wow.
All right. And also Josh Muccio, successful entrepreneur, growth marketer, which we're going to talk about today. We're going to find out what the heck that means, I think.
We'll see.
Blogging at joshmuccio.com and on Twitter at joshmuccio.
That's me.
M-U-C-C-I-O. Just to be clear, because we're spelling things today. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So today, guys, we are drinking more MCT oil, which is why I'm talking fast again. So the brew of the day is a little boring again. At least we're not on the 8 o'clock beans.
Can I interrupt?
We shouldn't even talk about the brew of the day.
I don't remember any introduction about you with Epiphany Marketing.
So that's because we're trying to change the brand. But thanks for bringing up the old one. That's good. No, I'm just...
Grow the Dream.
GrowTheDream.com. Yeah. You know,
right? I didn't hear the pitch for it. Sorry.
That's okay. No, that's all right. I don't have to pitch for me. I mean, it's all. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter. The fun thing about me is that you find me on Twitter at TheDavidJohnson.
He's already getting business from this podcast without trying.
You know, it's true. It's true. I actually was on a call this week.
Just plug Jogger.
Did I tell you this? No. I let me tell you this real quick. I was so thrilled. I was on a call this week. Someone had referred us a new client, a potential new client anyway. We're having a conversation. And he asked me about, you know, that podcast that you helped someone start. And it's what's funny is we have 2 clients that started podcasts in January. And so I was working on podcasts with a couple of other people. And I assumed he was talking about one of them. And I said, well, because I was asking, where did you find me? And because he knew a lot about me already. Where did you read all this stuff? And he said, well, you know, I found this and that and the other thing. And I listened to that podcast and it's really good. And he started talking about the content. And it dawned on me, he was talking about The Growth Show.
No, that's fine.
He had already listened to episode number 1. So thank you, Internet.
Yes.
thank you to the interwebs.
Yes.
But seriously, this show exists to help you, the small business owner, or as a member of a small business team. Maybe you're not the owner, but you're part of a team. You're one of those people wearing, 37 hats? I saw a tool this week called 37 hats, if I remember right.
Yeah, if you want your business owner slash boss to love you,
oh yeah,
do everything we tell you to
do. True. It's true. Starting with MCT oil.
Yeah.
Which,
make you smarter.
I'm sorry to say that my cup is already empty. I think we...
We blabbed through our cups.
Rod,
I have coffee
drain
still
over there.
I am, and it's warm still because I actually mastered your microwave. So I'm pretty pleased, actually.
That's right.
God bless you.
Don't get started on microwaves.
And the user interfaces on microwaves. But anyway, okay, so today we're going to be talking about Well, right up front, we're going to talk about three things you should stop doing in 2015. But then we're going to get to seven ways that you can grow your business rather quickly and, let's say, at least cost effectively. These are seven things you really should be doing in 2015. And Josh, to your point, these are the things, if you're not the owner of the business and you do them, your business owner slash boss is going to love you for this stuff, because this is highly effective stuff that everybody should be doing. Some of it may be new territory for you. Some of it may be familiar, but we're going to talk about it nonetheless, because there are some great things that we can discuss today with respect to each of these things.
Absolutely. I'm excited about this episode.
I am too.
There's a lot of good stuff coming.
All right.
I love every single one of these things.
So except for the things we should stop doing, which I think is where we should start.
I love talking about those too. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's start with stopping, shall we?
Well, first of all, there are three things that we definitely want you to not do. And if you are doing them, to stop doing them. And number one, stop hiring an SEO company and buying links.
Ooh.
Okay. So there are some legit SEOs out there who have kept up with the times, just to be fair, because I have some friends that are in the biz. But let's face it, buying links is just a bad idea.
You're better off with a PR person promoting your brand than you are paying an SEO company for crappy links.
So if your SEO company is not telling you what they're doing, A, or if B, they are telling you and they're buying links or placing links through whatever means, automated or otherwise, this is going to hurt you. I mean, it's not only lost its effectiveness.
So how will it actually hurt you?
So we can talk about an idea known as negative SEO, which is kind of a fun story. But the bottom line is that Google is on to this. I mean, and they've been on to it for several years now. A couple years ago, Google, in one of the Panda Penguin Hummingbird, I've now lost track of where this one rolled out. I think it was a panda thing.
Nobody cares.
If I remember right. But anyway, the bottom line is when Google changed their algorithm a couple of years ago, thanks, Rod, they basically have discovered, they've always been good at finding crap links, really, really bad ones. But what they've done now is they've just dramatically improved their ability to catch this when it happens.
And so when they do, how do they penalize the company?
Well, you know, the famous example was JCPenney, which when this update rolled out, JCPenney was number one, for example, in Google. If you searched for the word dresses, like looking for women's clothing, dresses. When this update rolled out, they went to position 80 in the Google search results, okay, which is at the bottom of page 8.
Right.
So, you know, it's just a bad idea.
Is this the same one that docked eBay and what was the one that happened last year, that docked eBay and some other?
Well, the JCPenney one was about 2 years ago. And Actually, just to be clear, there may have been a manual penalty involved with JCPenney, because the bottom line was it was discovered that JCPenney had an SEO company that was placing links. Of course, JCPenney denied it. Their SEO company denied it. But the bottom line was there were a ton of bad links out there. Right.
Is there such a thing, and this is what SEO companies have built their brands on in the past, is there still such a thing as automated link building?
There's still such a thing.
I mean, that will actually work? Because today's age, if you do it wrong, you'll actually get penalized. I mean, like you were just saying, you'll actually get penalized for it. And there's a tool that you can use to enter in your domain and see if you have any of those really bad links.
Well,
I can't remember what it is.
There's a free one from Google. Webmaster Tools will tell you if you are subject to a penalty or even a manual penalty for bad links.
Really?
Yeah. It's in Webmaster Tools. So if you, and by the way, if you don't have a Webmaster Tools account, you should sign up today. It's free. Google.com/webmasters.
And then link it to your analytics account. You'll get more data.
You will get more data in your analytics account and in your a Webmaster Tools account. So it's a great place. And you know, the thing about Webmaster Tools, though, is for you to be aware of penalties and things like what we're talking about today, you actually have to sign in and look at it. They're not going to email you. They're not going to, it doesn't reach out and touch someone for you when there's something going on. You have to actually log in and check.
Yeah.
That was a slogan for the 80s.
All right. So the second thing that we want people to not do or to stop doing if they are, is to stop using set it and forget it pay-per-clicks. Now, you guys might want to walk through just briefly what that is.
You mentioned AdWords Express.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of the easy button for AdWords. It's like instead of actually learning to use the tool, you just sign up for it and it does a lot of pay-per-click ads for you in an automated fashion.
Yeah. You'd be about as effective as running a general TV campaign.
I just want to see what you're going for there. So to give you a quick example of this, we had a client that runs a summer camp every year. Big part of their business for kids. I mean, it's for, you know, school age children, middle school, elementary school age kids. When we got under the hood of their pay-per-click campaign, we discovered that a fair amount of their traffic was coming from people looking for nudist summer camps, which ironically was not part of the package with their children's summer camps that they were running. Yeah. So, and you know what? Blame it on whoever you want to blame it on, but they were paying for clicks.
It's Google's fault.
I was going to say, that sounds like Google to me.
I agree it's Google's fault, but in their defense, Google created a tool for the people who refuse to learn how to use the real tool. And so
they could do a better job creating custom keyword lists for different industries and then having a, you know, a little questionnaire that says, do you do this service? Do you do this service? And
you're talking about Google could do better if they did this. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, no, it would be better for the customer.
Well, it would be better for the customer. But so our bottom line today is you just don't want to use the easy button tools anyway that are out there. And there are others of these. So Google AdWords Express is not the only one. It's one of many. If you have a Yellow Pages company managing your pay-per-click campaigns or any kind of publisher that used to be in the offline publishing business, chances are you're wasting money.
They throw that in there with their contract just so you can think that they're relevant, but really they're just throwing traffic to their listing page that lists you next to all of your competition. You don't see that traffic direct to your website.
So there's no penalty that's going to happen here. You're just basically, as a company, wasting money.
You're wasting money.
It's a stupid tax.
Right.
So there's not a penalty from Google in terms of your organic rankings,
right?
But it's a stupid tax. I'm being maybe
and it's
a little
what,
bold about it, but yeah.
And it's what gives AdWords a bad reputation.
Sure.
You've heard a lot of people say, oh man, you can waste a lot of money with it.
Yeah, that's true, you can.
Because you aren't doing it right, and it's not necessarily your fault. You set up, you get your free $100, you call in, you actually have a rep you can talk to at Google.
A human, yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is they don't know people's industries enough to really provide the right recommendations.
Yeah.
I've seen some really poorly set up, and that's the other thing with AdWords. I mean, once you get it started, if you start poorly, you may never recover, because Google looks at the quality score and how people interact with your site after they go through. And if you don't have it set up for the right keywords, and like nudist summer camp, they're obviously going to click the back button. Google's going to see it as a not engaged customer.
Right.
And your whole campaign will be penalized. You'll pay more for your clicks.
You pay more.
It's shown farther down.
Yep.
It's just not effective. And that's how people get in this spiraling AdWords pit of death, where you spend tons of money and get zero results.
And so it was easy to fix. All we had to do was go into the campaign, add a negative keyword, which means if someone includes this word in the search, don't show them my ad.
Yeah.
So nude or nudist, for example, was added to the negative keywords list. And then, boom, that problem is eliminated. But like you said, Josh, the campaign is already suffering. It's almost better to just blow it all up and start over sometimes in those cases.
Yeah.
Depending on how long it's been going on, if it's been one day, it's not a big deal. But like if you've been paying for these for six months.
But you can do that. You can blow it up, start over, and Google will not then remember that?
Well, they're going to remember data about your domain.
Mm-hmm.
But they will not include data from the bad campaign in the same way. So yeah,
So there is an extrication avenue there.
There is, but the fact of the matter is, look, if you're thinking about pay-per-click, just don't try to go the easy route.
Right.
It's worth it to take a few hours and learn to do the stuff. I mean, it's not that difficult.
If you really want to do it right,
yeah.
You create categories of keywords based on user intent. And we can go down a pit here, and I'm not going to go down it. And then create custom landing pages for each of those intents.
You've already got mud on your shoes, bro. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's how you do it in such a way where you can pay less than your
it's
competition
true.
And
yeah.
get shown higher. And here's a principle it's the key, probably one of the biggest things about AdWords or any pay-per-click or any advertising. Your copy on the ad, the text you use on the ad, needs to match the text on the landing page
in some meaningful way. Doesn't have to be exact necessarily.
As close as you can get, the better.
Well, I agree.
If you can do exact and literally have the same, you know, the same text, the same call to action,
yeah.
you know, in the case of the landing page, it's a button instead of just the text.
Sure.
I mean, that's the best way to do it. It's obviously a lot of work,
but it's not just the best in terms of paying better rates at Google. It's the best in terms of your user's experience, which is ultimately why Google built it this way.
Correct. I mean,
their system actually rewards people who treat the users well.
Correct.
All right. So number three on the three things not to do if you are doing it, or to stop doing it. And the third one is stop ignoring your email list. And this one is actually really huge, too.
It is.
I mean, if you've been collecting emails already and you aren't emailing them on a regular basis, you might need to consider throwing them away. I mean, don't. I mean, email them first. But if you don't keep in touch with that list consistently,
and
I don't
we've
know
all
how to quantify
done it,
that.
You know, it's bad news. Because here's what happens. If you let them sit for 6 months or some period of time, and all of a sudden you email them, out of the blue, they go, who the heck is this? I don't even know who this is. And so what happens is, there are three worst case scenarios that can happen. One is they hit the spam button, which destroys your reputation with your email service provider and could potentially get your account shut down.
If enough of them do it.
Right. And it could also get you in trouble in terms of your domain reputation, which is another issue. But secondly, they will not remember who you are. They may not hit the spam button, but they'll unsubscribe.
Yeah.
And these were probably good, potentially good subscribers at one point, mm-hmm. Had you stayed in touch. And the third worst case scenario, so to speak, is that you become part of the background noise in their inbox, where they just say, I do remember who it is, or I don't remember who it is, but I'm just not even going to bother.
I don't have time. Delete.
Yeah. Or just ignore. I mean, I don't even delete the emails. I just don't.
I cannot take having an inbox with thousands of stuff in it.
I need to remember the OCD characteristics that you have, because it's actually quite fun.
I should have never brought that up.
No, I know. I had a great OCD staff member. You know, we all need, actually, in your business, Rod, with what you do with great media relations and writing articles and editing, I would think a little OCD goes a long way.
I personally often leave off the D because it's only mild in my case, and I think it's a very important tool for me at times, because it really does helps me focus. When it's on the O part, the obsessive, and I'm focusing, it's a great benefit to me.
See, I like, this is a great business strategy. I just want to insert this right here.
You guys are weird.
Because I had a software developer as a client, and what they would do is when someone would report a bug, he would stop and he'd go, wait a minute, it's a feature. And it would come up with some reason why it was useful that it worked that way.
That's funny.
And then it would hand it off to the marketing guy and say, all right, turn it into a feature, buddy.
But if I tell somebody I have OC, they don't really know what I'm talking about. Operational command?
Are you from Orange County?
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Email
lists.
Hey, so.
Don't ignore them. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, here's how. So if you're getting in touch with them for the first time in a long time, is there a strategy you can use to soften the blow?
By all means, it's a warm-up campaign. And you have to reconnect to the reason why they signed up to you in the beginning. I mean, these specific, you talked about your AdWords, copy versus landing page. What was on the subscribe form that they filled out on your website when they signed up? Did they download a free report? Did they get a free thing? Did they sign up for your newsletter? What is it? And make sure the subject line of your email to them reconnects with that purpose the first time out. And if it's been a really long time, like more than 6 months, you should consider only doing a chunk of your list at a time so that you don't get hit with too many unsubscribes and spam reports and all that stuff at once. And the advantage to doing a little chunk at a time is if it doesn't work, then you do something different on the second attempt.
You don't burn your whole list.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that there's a sort of a concomitant issue here, is that stop not collecting emails if you haven't started yet. I mean, it sounds really basic, but seriously, everybody you interact with, you need to get an email from them. All your customers, any potential customers. Of course, there's whole systems to set up to grab emails online, etc.
SumoMe, great tool for that.
Exactly. Yeah. SumoMe, which we, yep.
But, and I think we're going to talk about some more tools in a little bit.
There'll be lots of tools, but the key is you got to collect emails. Absolutely. If you don't do that, you're just killing yourself.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you're doing all of this work to get traffic or visibility, and you really have to create relationships. At the end of the day, we're all three of us firm believers in the idea that you've got to create relationships. We're not here to just do awareness campaigns. It's like your general TV campaign you were talking about before, buying a billboard on the side of the road. Yeah. Why would you do this?
Very untargeted. Okay, yeah, sure. So So there's our three things to not do. Now, the really fun part is we have a list of seven things to start doing in 2015 to grow your business. And the first one is use of video on your homepage, Josh.
Or landing page.
Or landing page.
I mean, it can be as simple as just the owner getting on and saying, "Hi, welcome to my pest control business. This is what we do. We've been around for this long." It doesn't need to be super short, special, super professional. But
truly,
it's great if it is, if you want to invest in it.
So what's the value of doing it? Why is it so important?
Well, it allows them to connect with you very quickly. I mean, you put it right up at the top with a play button. And it allows you it sets you apart from the competition. I mean, you'll see a lot of larger national companies do this for their specific services or products because their product needs explaining. And your product may not need explaining, but it's an opportunity for you to connect with people on a level more than just what your service offering is.
So the analogy is, would you rather have someone read your flyer or meet with your salesperson?
Right.
Right? Okay. I'd rather meet with a salesperson because that's going to create a connection. And we were talking just a minute ago about creating relationships. So, by the way, these seven are not in any particular order.
Right. These are random order.
So, number one, the explainer video. And I'm a huge fan of it. But to your point, Josh, about whether it's highly professional, I actually believe a lot of times that the lower professional quality videos are even sometimes more effective,
mm-hmm.
only because they are authentic.
Yeah.
So if the person stumbles around or isn't quite polished, I mean, if they make major errors and look like an idiot, that's one thing. But if it's just like, "Hey, I stumbled over my words," or it's not a big, like this podcast, for example,
right.
This is authentic, man. We're just being real, right. So, we're shooting for professional, but.
So I know one thing that bothers an awful lot of people, like anybody who's ever used the internet, is when you go to a web page and the video starts playing automatically. Like ESPN, I would do anything to not use ESPN because every time I go on their site to read a story they have on the side, they'll start to play a video and I have to pause it every time.
It's a truck ad, another truck ad.
It drives me crazy. Yeah. Those aren't ads. Those are their own videos.
Oh, they are their own ESPN videos?
That's their own ESPN videos.
Egregious.
Yeah. Egregious, right. So we all agree that that's a bad plan. Why do people do it?
Anything that makes noise when someone lands on your page is going to tick off users.
Yes.
So why they do it is because it's effective.
Huh. How much does it tick off users if it's effective? It sounds like the negative campaigning.
Okay.
Everybody complains about negative campaigning, but the reason
it works. Well, here's why I think ESPN could probably get away with it in ways that other businesses could not. And that is because their content is all targeted at a sports fan. So there's like a reasonable likelihood that whatever that annoying video is talking about is
it's almost always on topic.
Exactly.
It's just not what I want to just read the thing,
right?
Anyway,
but here, keep in mind, visitors to ESPN.com already have a relationship with the brand, period, end of story. They watch it on TV one of the ESPN networks,
so they can get away with
so
it.
Mm-hmm. This is not a behavior to copy.
Right So then one other question on that is, what about the, you guys talked about quality of video, but what about the like cutout video where the guys are walking across the screen or the lady pops up in the corner and starts talking to you real personal like, but it's not actually in a viewer? Yay or nay on that?
If you're a software company or you're offering a software as a service, maybe it's a way to connect. But mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a local business.
I have thoughts on this. I mean, 9 times out of 10, they're done with Flash, maybe even more often than that. And Flash is just a bad idea.
Hey,
no iOS device is going to be able to play it.
I'm remembering the little paperclip guy from, what was this, Windows?
Clippy. Was that his name?
Yeah.
The little paperclip dude from Microsoft
I
Word.
Paperclip
hey,
guy.
I'm here to help,
Yeah.
I see you're having trouble spelling the word the, whatever he used to do.
Drop dead, Clicky.
Wow. Yeah. Wasn't his name Clip? I don't remember his name. The little paperclip Microsoft Word dude.
Yeah. I haven't thought about that in years.
He's actually an internet meme.
Sure he is.
Because of how bad he is. Yeah, Clippy is his name.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we got that one. So on our list of seven things to start doing in 2015 to grow your business, the second one, again, in no order of importance here, all seven of these are important. The second one is reviews on your homepage or landing page.
Boom. Do it.
What do we mean by reviews? Let's dive in.
Facebook, you can either collect them manually and have your web designer put them in, or a tool I like to use is Get Kudos, which takes your reviews from Facebook and Twitter and you star the ones you want to display on your website, and it embeds them on every page of your website that you want them to. You just put the code. Yeah. Super easy to use. You have an admin panel. You can go and select the reviews. And then it's actually dynamic so that the customer can click on the review and it actually goes to the post on Facebook. So they can see it's a real person talking about you. Not, you didn't make up the review.
Excellent. That's a lot better than Bob in Kansas says, blah, blah, blah. And we all look at that and we think, well, I have no idea if that's legit or not.
And you're always looking at the pictures going, is this a fake picture? Does Bob really look like this?
I'm looking at an example that you mentioned off air, Josh, and this is at iHeartRepair.com, which is the website for the business that you sold.
Yep.
And but you still do growth marketing for them.
Yeah.
And it's iHeartRepair.com. And you can see under the section called What People Are Saying About Us. I just scroll down. And here are a handful of tweets and Facebook posts. And I totally see what you're saying. Like, I can click and I can go view the tweet or the Facebook post. It's really, really slick.
And I put it really high up on the page. I mean, you have kind of an introduction of your service, maybe a few features, and then boom, here's the reviews. Then you can go into the specifics of your service because you're establishing trust up early on the page, and they may not even scroll down any further. They might say, that isn't enough for me. This, you know, yeah. These reviews are...
And so this is an element of something we know as social proof,
right?
Which means other people are buying from this company, so that gives me permission to do it. By the way, I was reminded of this week. Josh, you probably are too young for this. Have you ever heard of Candid Camera?
Yeah.
You know what it is?
I've heard of it.
I'm just playing with you, man. I'm messing with you.
Well, he is too young for it. I mean, clearly he would only have gotten that out of a history book.
So Alan Funt, the great stunt man who played with, he just messed with people and had cameras rolling. I mean, it's really, really fun stuff. But there was an episode where they filmed people in an elevator. So the guy gets on the elevator on the bottom floor. And then on the second floor, two people get on. And instead of facing the door, the two people face the back of the elevator. And he kind of looks at him like, you know, and so then a third person gets on at the next floor, whatever the next stop was, the third person gets on and also faces the back. And of course, these are all three actors who are paid just to mess with the dude. And so the guy can't help himself anymore. He turns around, you know, and then they stop again. And all three of the other actors turn around and face the front and for no reason. Right. So now he turns around and they did this to countless people.
Oh, let's face it. We all would have done the same things that guy
did. Though. Yeah. I mean, they just absolutely monkeyed with people. And then, of course, they tell them there's a camera over there and you're on Candid Camera.
I bet Candid Camera's on. That's the jingle.
Smile, you're on Candid Camera. That's right.
I wasn't confident enough to actually sing it.
So
is it on YouTube now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's lots of stuff on YouTube.
I think of Candid Camera as sort of the precursor to a lot of what is on YouTube. Because there's a lot of that stuff that they do out there. And it's Alan Funt did that 50 years ago.
Oh, prank videos. Yeah, the prank videos.
Yeah.
So, but the point is, the reason this works is that it's the third-party validation, right? Someone else is doing something, and so I feel compelled to do it. So for you as a business, it legitimizes your business. It's a little bit like when you are walking downtown and you're trying to find a place to go for Valentine's Day with your date, and you don't already have a reservation because you're a guy. And so you're walking down the street. And there's a restaurant with a long line. And there's a restaurant next door with no one waiting. Which one do you choose? Right? Well, which one do you assume is a better restaurant? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, obviously the one with the line.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the equivalent of the line to use your website.
Right?
People are waiting to get in.
Right.
So this is why this works.
So there's a quote that I actually have on my Twitter profile pinned. And it says... It's not what you say about yourself as a business or businessman. It's what the customer says about you that really matters.
Right.
And that is your brand, right?
That's your social proof.
It is. Mm-hmm. So reviews are huge, and there are lots of ways to get them. If you're not getting the tweets and the Facebook posts, you can ask your customers. There's another good reason why you should have an email list, which we're going to talk about again in a minute. But you need to email them and ask them, hey, how was your experience? And let them tell you what their experience was like.
And Get Kudos actually has a landing page that it'll give you that allows you, it's just simple, because sometimes it can be hard to find how to review a company on Facebook. It's not always super easy, but this landing page just has one blank and says review, and then you either click the Twitter button or the Facebook button.
Beautiful.
And you leave your review.
I also have seen a company called Demand Force that does a fairly good job of soliciting reviews. And this seems to be used in service industries. Like I know of the plumber we were talking about last time uses this, and also my eye doctor of all people uses this thing. They use it. He uses it to confirm appointments, you know, ahead of time, so somebody doesn't have to manually do it at the office. They can email it automatically, and that sort of stuff. So it integrates with other systems. But then after your experience with the company, the system sends an email out. Hey, what was your experience like? How did everything go? Blah, blah, blah. Would you like to review? Click here. And then the same thing is a little piece of JavaScript code. You stick it on your website and the reviews automatically appear on your site. So
nice.
It's a pretty slick tool.
It's a great way to grab it.
I'd
say that's marketing automation right there.
That's a little bit of automation right there. It's a beautiful
automation thing. Can be our friend.
It really
Absolutely.
Can.
Absolutely.
And you know, I mean, think about when you got, like this happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I bought a mixer for us to use on the podcast because it was the first time I needed to record a podcast with more than two voices. So I went and bought a mixer and I checked it out on Amazon. I did all the research and I thought, you know what? I'm going to buy it from a retailer here in town. Competitive price. And hey, if I have a problem, I can go turn it in. You know, I don't have to wait around for the shipping and all that other stuff. So I went and bought the thing. Well, and they asked very politely, you know, do you want to get our emails and get a coupon from time to time or whatever? And I realized, you know, I've never signed up here. Sure. So I signed up. About a week later, I got a personal email from the lady who checked me out, who helped me get the mixer and, you know, process a transaction and sign me up. She didn't check me out. You know what I mean? And I saw that look on your face, Josh.
That's not what I was thinking. Oh, okay. That's hilarious that that's where
you Funny, not what at. I was thinking either. Just Dave thought that. So good.
I'm going to keep staring at you and see what you say.
That's beautiful. Right. Okay. So I didn't. Never mind. So, but it was a nice little personal, very simple email. And she just said, hey, I wanted to find out how everything went with your mixer. Is it working out okay? Is there anything I can do?
Huh. That's excellent. That is excellent customer follow-up right there.
Excellent.
Personalized and everything.
Ask for the review?
No, she didn't. But my point is, how did that make me feel?
Right.
I mean, Amazon sends me that crap, but I always know it's coming because it's automated, right?
It's just automated.
This was a personal touch,
yep.
which was pretty sweet. So think about the last time a company reached out to you after you did business with them, what that touch felt like, and think about the company that never bothered, right? Yeah. And
they already got the sale. Yep. They've moved on.
Chances are pretty good that if you want some more equipment along those lines, you're going to check with these guys right away.
Not only that, I'm going to ask for her by name.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm going to call ahead and find out when she's working.
Yeah.
You know?
Perfect.
I mean,
perfect. All right. So number three.
No, she was checking me out, not the other way around. I'm kidding. None of that
happened. Number three.
Ignore that. Okay, number three.
Number three. On our list of seven things to start doing in 2015 to grow your business is getting influencers and media. And on this particular one, this is something that the Thompson Group does a fair bit of.
You're good at this.
Well, we've done it for a while. I've been on both sides of the wall on this, and so I understand it pretty well. The importance, though, for any company of being able to get publicity, PR stands for press releases or public relations. And in this case, we'll go with public relations because it's the broader one. The important part for a company is that it is the most legitimate sort of advertising you can get. It's sometimes what we call earned media, and that it's earned and that you get it because you have done something that's newsworthy. You've either expanded a company or hired more people or introduced a new product or any number of things.
Won an award.
Won an award.
But the point is that you've done something interesting enough. You're not boring. Otherwise, the media isn't actually paying attention.
And not only not boring, but something newsworthy. And sometimes the value of something like PR Web and some of the other national PR services is that they're shooting things out. They're not personalized like you were just talking about in any way. They may be semi-effective on one level on the internet. You'll get a lot of places that will pick it up, but those places that pick it up are probably not useful to you. So for our purposes, creating a public relations campaign is really important for you because it allows you to get media coverage. It allows you to get publicity in your local papers. If you're a local business and you are looking to get that sort of local publicity, then what you need is somebody that can help you draft a press release, talk to you about what your company does, what might be newsworthy, draft up a press release, gets it into the right hands. That means the right publications and the right editors or news deciders or whatever at those publications, because the worst thing you can do is just spam it out to every local place. And if it says, in other words, when I was the editor of the Gulf Coast Business Review, if I was getting email from somebody that said, you know, new recipes for pumpkin pie, because they just sent it to every local media outlet that was based in Sarasota. In no time whatsoever, they were in my spam filter. They were automatic deletes if they made it past my spam filter. Nothing they ever sent me, no matter how relevant it might be, was I ever going to look at.
Ouch.
Exactly. And so what we do, I mean, we'll personalize the email with it. We make sure it gets to the right editors, because in this market, we really know who's who and what they do. Now, a great benefit, once you have that coverage in itself is a benefit, but then you can greatly leverage that coverage on your website and your social media. You can use it, and even what we're talking about later with Facebook ads. There's a lot of ways you can take that media coverage from links from your site, and it shows legitimacy even as much or more so than testimonials, certainly as much as testimonials, because you have a third party that you're not paying money to that's saying, that is reporting on your company, and people read that and is far, far more effective than a paid ad, display ad or television ad or anything else. Far more effective.
This is why Josh was saying earlier, if you're spending money on a traditional SEO, you'd probably just be better off hiring someone like Rod, who can actually get a role. First of all, you have relationships with these publications locally.
Correct.
And if you were to help someone in another city, you would do the work that it takes to figure out who the right publications are and who the right people are within those publications for somebody to reach out to. Am I right?
Right.
Now, yeah. You have relationships with peer people locally, with the publications locally. What would someone do in, say, Cincinnati, Ohio?
See, it still works, though, at least from my point of view, because I've done it for people all over, getting them publicity, and all over Florida. And you know, and I really, my contacts are really Tampa Bay to Naples. Best, but specifically Sarasota, Manatee counties are super good. You know, I don't have a lot in Miami and Fort Lauderdale and that sort of thing.
Or Topeka, for
example. Or Atlanta or whatever. However, news people are pretty similar everywhere. And if you're thinking news, what are you talking about? Opening up the paper, what's the value of that? For one thing, there is value still in print. That's a different conversation. But all of those places have become very big online news providers. And that is huge for you to get it online. And so what happens, though, is the same sort of thing that I explained right off the bat is true whether it's in Los Angeles or Atlanta or Topeka, any place that has either weekly newspapers. They're going to be judging what things are important to our readers. What would our readers find interesting? And it takes me almost no time to find out what the media outlets are in that community and who to contact based on their job description, because I know what they're going to be doing, or their job title, I should say. I know what they're going to be doing. And then to shoot off a personalized email. I have a company that I work with that they provide in a specific industry. I'm not at liberty to say this.
Dancing around this one, right?
I am. So let me just get it out carefully. But they have people all over the country that are experts in this industry on this topic. It gets to be a controversial topic. When something shows up in a local newspaper, they find somebody nearby who can write a column in response to that. Because we know that newspapers want local columns.
Sure they do.
They want local people to write them. And oftentimes these are retired people out of the industry. Sometimes they're still working in it. They've been on national advisory boards, you know, big time stuff. And then all they hire me to do is get it placed. Just get that placed. And the reason why they hired me is because the chairman who was in charge of doing it and all was having a heck of a time, because he just didn't have the experience, you know.
He didn't have the knowledge base.
He didn't know how to do it. Yeah. And he's just probably just spamming it out there. I don't know how he was doing it, but he was frustrated. I was recommended to him, brought me on. We've been doing it for about 2 years now, 100% placement. Now, sometimes we have to work a few different publications, but we've gotten every single one of those placed all over the country. So it works.
That's
everywhere.
Incredible.
Yeah.
100% placement.
100% placement.
And by the way, the strategies that you're talking about, which involve personally reaching out, knowing who you're reaching out to, what they're interested in, what makes them tick. The same process applies, even though it may not be a media relations type role that you look for to help you with this. The same process applies to finding online influencers and reaching out to them. So bloggers, editors of online publications, pure online. There are a lot of things that you can do to help get some interest in your company and in your products and services, even within your industry. So you spend a lot of time talking about local, but you know some of our listeners are providing a product or a service inside of an industry. Same thing works if you're not so much local, but you're looking at
the exact
at the industry.
Same thing works. Yeah. Matter of fact, I have a client that does that, that's in a very specific industry. Matter of fact, this industry has such a narrow niche that I would be hard pressed to even explain what a sub niche it is. There are three print publications in this niche. I was flabbergasted to find there was one. There are three print publications.
So they're staying alive in today's world. That's amazing.
It is.
So, and there are lots of influencers online. These will get you links. So remember earlier we were saying stop buying links? Go get them organically.
Right.
By creating relationships, and these types of links are still of great value
right.
for your search engine optimization.
And seriously,
efforts.
If you're doing this on your own and you don't think I can't really craft a press release, I don't know really what to do here and all. It shouldn't be that expensive. We don't charge very much for it.
Right.
But it really, anybody you find that you want to do it with, they should not charge you very much for it, because if they know what they're doing, it's just not that hard to do it and to do it right. And you know, that's not a very big expense for a company. You don't have to invest very much to get some press coverage.
Good. So we have three things to hit that we need to hit quickly here, just for sake of time. And these next three kind of work together. And so these are of our top seven things that you need to be doing in 2015. So the next one is to start measuring and quantifying your ROI. Or Rod, I think you state this a little bit differently. You stated it exactly the same way.
Yeah.
Start measuring. If you're not measuring what you're doing, you've got to do that. So, Josh, let's talk about it.
Well, you have to have an action that you want your customers to take. And for most businesses, it's calling or filling out a form. And there's ways of setting it up in Google Analytics. Super technical. Takes a good amount of work to set it up. But once you do, you can start measuring every single channel that you're using, whether it's AdWords or remarketing, which we'll talk about here in a second, or even just your natural SEO.
Or even offline stuff. Let's talk about offline stuff. So if you put a brochure out there or a television spot or a radio spot or whatever, give those listeners, viewers, readers someplace special to go on your site.
Exactly.
Maybe even a special domain name. I mean, it depends on, you know, domain names are cheap, 10, 12 bucks, depending on where you register them. Not a big deal.
Yeah. If you're spending thousands of dollars on mass media coverage, you can spend $10 a year on a custom domain that helps you measure the effectiveness
of that.
Yeah, so
you place this domain
campaign
in this ad, and when they type the domain in, it doesn't even have to be a special website. It can just go to a certain page on your existing main site.
Absolutely.
The users don't care about that. That's okay. So if I typed in, you know, something that I saw on a television spot or radio or heard on a radio ad, I go to a specific landing page that's targeted to.
Yep.
It relates to the campaign in particular, so it relates to what they heard, saw, or read. And now I'm on the landing page. Josh, what you're seeing is within Google Analytics, we are now able to track the effectiveness of that ad.
We can find out what they do after they landed. So
right.
you would measure by the source, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's the really cool thing. Believe it or not, you can now measure phone calls as well.
You sure can, absolutely.
But not in the sense of, oh, hey, we had this many phone calls on this phone number. There's actually technology out there now, and this is something I usually help my clients with. My favorite thing to do is set up a dynamic phone number on one of their landing pages that changes depending on the campaign that they came from. So it's a piece of code, and what it essentially allows you to measure every single conversion, including people who made the phone call not on their mobile device, whether they used a landline and whatnot. You're able
to
capture.
Yeah, because it's pretty easy to measure the tap to call stuff. That you can set that as an event in Google Analytics and measure that. What you're saying is now the number is actually different.
Yeah, and it's extremely cool stuff on how that works, but it allows you to be in full. So if you're spending a lot on campaigns to grow your business, spend a fraction of that to get the measurements out so you can compare your different channels and campaigns against each other. And like you were saying, Rod, find out what the best ROI is
and
make decisions that make sense.
Right, because it is so measurable. Now, earlier on in the internet, it was almost akin to the billboard on the highway. I mean, you were throwing stuff out there, hoping for the best, trying to get hits on your site, da da da. But now it's become advanced enough to where the measurability is right there. You can really, really measure ROI, and you no longer have to do a bunch of guesswork for your campaigns online.
You can even know how effective your brand is growing. Just your general brand awareness, you can actually capture that.
It's measurable. Yeah.
It's measurable. And see, if people are already familiar with your brand, do they convert better than people who are just finding you for the first time on search? And usually the answer is yes, but you can measure that.
Yeah, and you can also start to realize that all of these various efforts, even though your Facebook page may not be getting tons and tons of interaction, what you find is that contributes to the purchase decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are many factors that end up, you know, contributing, and you can control a lot of them today for a lot less money than you used to be able to do. But more importantly, you can measure and quantify a return on virtually everything you do.
Can't stress it enough.
Right, yep. Exactly. Right. And so speaking of Facebook ads, number five on our list of seven things you want to start doing in 2015 to grow your business is start using Facebook ads.
With a caveat. So I'm a huge believer in Facebook ads. Don't use the little boost button that they offer up to you.
If it's easy, that there's a trend I'm sensing here. If it's easy, yeah, you probably shouldn't do it.
Well, it's just... It's
too easy. Yeah.
It's like the convenience store. Okay, so yeah. If you need peanut butter and it's, 7 o'clock in the evening, right? The grocery store is still open. Why are you going to 7-Eleven and paying three times or whatever it is for your peanut butter? I mean, there's no reason.
Because it's called a convenience store.
It's called convenience, absolutely. That's the boost button is the convenience store. So I don't even like the normal Facebook ad interface, which is the one that when you go to Ads Manager, you see it in the left-hand column once you set up your ad campaign or your ad account. You click on Ads Manager, and that takes you to where you can see all your campaigns. That's fine for looking at reports and things. But if you're creating your ads, get familiar with the Power Editor. That is one of the single most powerful tools that Facebook has ever created, and it allows you to control very, very fine details about your ads. More importantly, the targeting. So, Rod, you have a great story about one of the political campaigns that you were working on.
Right. So our company, we handle candidates for office and issues, and we do political campaigns and political consulting. This past year, I was a little bit surprised at just how targeted I could get the Facebook ads. We had a candidate for office in our local county here who wanted to hit a very specific part of the county and was looking for people who were registered Republicans who had liked on Facebook the Republican Party of Florida and page and who were living in Inglewood. Venice and Northport, so South Sarasota County, and we're over 55 years old.
Okay, so for the people not familiar with our area, these are three tiny little towns.
Small towns.
Main ones.
Okay, actually Northport technically is bigger, but that's a city limits issue.
Okay, so all right. So, but you get what I mean. I mean, these are not places that are well known.
They're not at all. Yeah. But they become important in a countywide race here because also they have a much older demographic. They're heavily retirement, much more so than North County is. And so they vote in higher numbers. And he didn't have great written name recognition there. So we targeted, and seriously, we did not spend that much money. This was a small campaign.
Hello, it does not cost a lot. Yeah.
It doesn't. And I mean, think of all those elements. I said, you realize how targeted, and we still had something like a pool of something like 20,000 people that we were hitting. And we just hammered those ads over and over and over and over in the final 6 weeks leading up to the vote and all. And he did very well in South County.
Yeah. So now that was measured by the ballot box.
Right. Now that's as measurable as you can make an election like that.
But targeting is beautiful.
Right. It is measurable in that you could see on there in the analytics part of it.
Yeah, sure.
You could see that, and you could see how many times the average person saw it. I think it was like 4.5 times it showed up.
The frequency.
For them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sensing a trend here. The more specific you get in any of your mediums, any of your marketing channels, the farther the cost goes down. And the effectiveness of that campaign, the possible ROI goes up.
Yep. Now, there is also a correlation with the amount of work involved. Okay, so let's be real, because the convenience button is not going to give you that kind of targeting.
No.
Nor is it going to give you that kind of effectiveness. And this is why I say ditch it.
But it's not hard to do.
It's really not.
And you really don't need to hire somebody to do Facebook ads for you. You can if you want to spend, it doesn't take very long to learn it at all.
Because you know who your customers are.
Right.
So that takes us to our next point, talking about measuring and quantifying using Facebook ads. Number six is to start remarketing. And the reason that I feel like this is tied in is because you can actually remarket directly on Facebook, and it's not hard to do, especially if you're using the Power Editor. But let's talk about what remarketing is.
Yeah, there's a lot of different tools that you can use for remarketing, and we will do a dedicated show about... about remarketing.
But let's explain what it is for somebody who has no clue what we're talking about.
Okay, so the most annoying version of remarketing is when you, we can get worse, but when you go to an Amazon listing for a product that you like, you check it out, and then all of a sudden you start seeing ads for that in Facebook, across your news feeds, and it's relevant, but you're annoyed by it, especially when it maybe gives away to one of your family members what you got them for Christmas. Hasn't happened to me yet, but
good point. I had not thought of that.
Yeah, that happened last
year. Why are these blue
year.
Pills showing up on your Facebook? No, I'm sorry. That was the Fiat commercial during the Super Bowl. Let's just diverge for a second.
Oh, no.
Were the ads terrible this year or what? I mean, the Super Bowl ads were just let down. Anyway, I'm sorry.
All right. I watched them all on YouTube ahead of time, though, so I didn't have to watch them during the game.
You can do that.
They promote them all before.
Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah. Big deal.
That's the value of it. I mean, the viewership during the Super Bowl
the
is
ads
great.
Ads are an event in themselves. There's the game.
Absolutely. Well, I know
there's
that.
There's the halftime, and then there's
just
the ads. Understand.
I mean, it's just YouTube, like Black Friday. It's getting earlier and earlier.
YouTube promotes them, and they actually, when you view one, even after the game now, they're still allowing you to vote on which one you think is the best of the Super Bowl ads. So, I mean, YouTube has turned this into a whole social event. And did you see Newcastle Brown Ale? What they did, they did not run in our region here, so we didn't see it, and that was unclear ahead of time. But what they did is they said they bought the cheapest Super Bowl ad ever. You know what they did? They put out a campaign that said, we're going to run a Super Bowl ad, but there's no way we're paying for all of it. So they did a call for what they called the band of brands, and they said, we're going to create a television commercial, and you get to be in it with us. And so they chopped up their television commercial and they sold it to, I don't know, 30, 40 brands. It was hilarious.
Wow.
So you got a couple and they're drinking their Newcastles at the beginning and they're moving into their new house and they're like, boy, I love this Armstrong floor. And then there was, you know, the toilet paper and the,
brilliant.
You name it. It was, and by the end of it, it was just insanely funny because there were like 40 logos on the, it was just,
yeah, I love
and
it.
A ticker running across the bottom with the ones that didn't fit. It was brilliant. I mean, it was a great ad. I was just bummed that they didn't do a national buy with it because I think that would have, you know. Anyway, we can link to that in the show notes. So remarketing is when the stuff follows you around.
And that's kind of the wrong way to do it. What I mentioned there with Amazon, but it's a way.
It's probably effective for Amazon. But yeah.
And it's a way almost if you don't get a customer's email address the first time or they don't call. It's a way for you to kind of remind them that you still exist. But as a small business, you have to obviously do it cautiously in a way that's not annoying. And you can cap it at impressions per day. You pay per impression, I believe, for remarketing. And you can say, I only want users to see my ads 5 times a day or 2 times a day. And I want to make sure I'm rotating new ads in and not... Yeah.
You can control whether it's in the newsfeed or on the side, on the right side, whether it shows up on mobile. And even, by the way, in the power editor, you can control whether you can actually limit it so that it shows up on mobile only when they're using Wi-Fi. So like if you have a video in your ad, they're not using their mobile bandwidth to watch it and you don't tick them off.
Yeah.
So lots of things you can do with it. It's a very powerful tool. One of the things that I like best about it for remarketing on Facebook specifically, by the way, you can do it with Google. And there are other platforms, so it's not just within Facebook.
I like a platform called AdRoll that actually allows you to, it aggregates all of
them.
Does
them all in one place, yeah. Right? AdRoll is great. So the beauty of this particular tool is, though, that you build an audience based on people. One of the ways that you can use it is you build an audience based on people who've been to your website. So in other words, if you're running a specific campaign locally, and like Rod, let's say you're doing your campaign there, you invite people to click through to the website for the campaign that you're talking about.
Yeah, and all we did was we just created a Facebook page for them.
Yeah, so now you could actually up the amount of times that someone sees your content if they visited your website.
Yeah.
And
because odds are, if they've engaged once before, they want to engage again.
Precisely. Yeah. And even if they got to the website from other means, so in other words, they didn't have to start from Facebook and go to the website.
Yeah.
They just land on the website, but they're a Facebook user. You can target them.
Right.
Beautiful stuff with remarketing. Yeah.
And so we have number 7. On our list of 7 things to start doing in 2015 to grow your business is email your list at least once a month. This, of course, comes back to the stop ignoring your email list. So we're bringing it full circle here. Email your list at least once a month. What's the importance of maintaining an email list and emailing regularly?
Well, just stay in touch. Remind them that you're there. If you don't do it, you know, that list goes stale, as we mentioned before.
They forget who you are, literally. I mean, like, who is this company?
Yeah,
but if I'm doing all these other things, do I really need to do that too?
Well, yeah, and here's the thing too. I mean, I think it's important that your email campaigns not be ads. Your email campaigns need to be a different type of marketing. It needs to be about the helpful content maybe that you provided on your blog, or a customer testimonial that you thought was really unique, or maybe your company's partnering with a nonprofit in town. These types of things that would tend to get press, you know, or go for a good story would also be great things to let your existing customers know about.
Right.
And they're going to share that content, whether it's via word of mouth. It's a way to enhance word of mouth, way to enhance social. It brings or reminds them that you're still there, even if they haven't been to your business in a while.
It's also that you're dealing with a very welcoming audience, as long as you're doing what you said, Josh, which is
doing
serving
it the right
them
way.
Through the
yeah.
content, right? If you're just blasting them with crap, then they're gonna hate you.
They will.
But if somebody came to your website and signed up for your email, they provided you an email address through whatever means, that in and of itself is a great sign of trust and credibility. And so why would you spend a bunch of money going to get new eyeballs when you could stay in touch with the ones you've already gotten that already have expressed some level of trust? So to me, this gets prioritized ahead of a lot of these other things that we're talking about simply because there's already a relationship.
Yeah.
If
okay,
you're doing it well.
So I want to wrap up a question to you guys here. We have 7 things to start doing this year. If I'm a kind of a small business or an entrepreneur or whatever, and I'm busy trying to grow the company. I really want to do some of this stuff. But I'm a little bit overwhelmed at thinking about launching all of this stuff this year. What can you guys help me with? Is there a very best one to start with? Are there a couple, 3 that are must do's? Or is it possible to really do all of them? Because some of them really aren't that big of a step to take. And that's what I'm looking at the list. And some of them really aren't. I mean, getting some media, it's not that the use of a video. I mean, you can have that done by somebody or do it yourself if you want to.
With an iPhone 6, let's face it. I mean, good quality recordings coming from these devices.
So do you guys feel like that this is something that really a small business owner can carry out in a year, getting all these things going?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you obviously have to start one thing after another. But the real power, and this I really believe, in growth marketing and what I do, the real power is everything combined.
Mm-hmm.
It's the campaigns that all send the same message, that all communicate well to the customer.
But for the guy or gal who's overwhelmed, start with one.
Right.
Pick the one that you think is going to be the easiest to start.
For you. Yeah.
Because okay, yeah, you can't eat the entire elephant, no. But you can start somewhere, and I liken it to a snowball, right? The thing is tiny at the top, but as it rolls, it gets bigger and takes on more mass. So as you add on a little something here, you add on something there, it makes the value of what you've already done increase.
It grows geometrically. It does. Start with one. Once you've got it up and going, commit yourself to starting on the next one. And you'll see when you're doing 2, it's not just going to double. It's going to more than double. And when
That's
you're doing
correct.
3, it's going to way more than triple. And you'll really start seeing results from it. So that would be our recommendation. So
now I'm going to make this recommendation. If you listen to this today and you heard something in the 3 things that you should stop doing or the 7 things that you need to be doing in 2015 that you don't understand, that you want to know more about, you have a story about, you have a question about, please go to thegrowthshow.com/003. That's this episode of the show. And fire off a comment. We want to hear from you. We want
to
know what questions you have. We could do
out.
A show about all 10 of these items. I mean, the 3 knots and the 7 twos. I mean, we could do a show about each one. And so we want to know what you want to hear about. And we want to know what questions you have, the frustrations you have about all this stuff. This has been a great show, guys. I can't believe that we're almost at an hour today. I mean, this has gone really, really, really quickly.
It has. And we have a bunch of tools. Do we want to talk about any of those now, or do you want to just put them in at the bottom?
You know, we mentioned some tools along the way. And
Kudos
we'll link
was
to them.
One.
They'll be on there.
Yeah, we'll link them in the show
Let's
notes. And then the ones that we didn't get to today, we can talk about as we explore some of these topics in more depth. I'm excited. We've got some guests coming up. That's going to be fun.
Yes.
So we want to invite you to stay tuned to The Growth Show. You can subscribe by going to thegrowthshow.com. And as you stick your email address in there, you can subscribe there. You can also pick up our RSS feed, stick it in iTunes, Stitcher, whatever your favorite podcasting platform is. And I invite you to please check out Thompson PR. That's Thompson with no P, but there is a P in PR, as we said, thompsonpr.com. And Josh, you're blogging at joshmuccio.com/blog. And on Twitter, it's Rod_Thompson. And Twitter is Josh Muccio.
You're
Josh
too kind.
Hey, no,
and
I mean,
then,
you know,
and
let's,
then for David Johnson, it's nourishthedream.com. And it's the, at Twitter, it's the David Johnson.
That's right. It's grow the dream.
Well, it's both. I mean, you can
what
mention nourish
say?
The dream. That's
said
all right.
Nourish.
Yes. Grow the dream
Son
is the
gun.
Marketing side. It's
I am
okay.
going to get this down for you, Dave.
I'm going to hire you as a PR guy, and then you can't. Then
wait,
I can
wait till I get my facts right, though.
Well, I was going to say, then I can really chastise you for screwing up the facts.
True.
No, it's all good. GrowTheDream.com. And and I'm the David Johnson because I'm the one you know. You know, there's lots of David Johnsons in the world. I wish I had a rare name like Josh Muccio or Rod Thompson.
Without a P.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, exactly. You know. So,
I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Hey, this has been a great show, guys. I mean, this went really quickly. I'm looking forward to next week. We're going to have a good time.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.